الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To everyone that joined with us in person in Chicago or online or listening to this later, inshallah, moments like these when you've been through such physical tests, as I'll talk about at the end, as New York has been tested within the last few days, then those moments where you join together with people just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it was just one friend that you met at the airport or in passing as they were in transit, and there was no other reason that you met except for the sake of Allah, or more on a higher level, getting together to do zikr, to make invocation and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we are now. It's the other moments when you're tested physically that you will hang on to these moments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, so we're, none of us are tested in such physical ways. But for those parts of the world that are, we know there are parts of the world that will be tested and continue, it varies where. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lighten those loads for all of us throughout the world, wherever they are, because we're weak. And He only gives us tests that we can bear anyway. But we seek protection from all hardships and ask Him for afia. And may He protect all those that are in calamitous situations, wherever they are in the world. Only He knows every single being, whether it be human or animal or plant, wherever there is injustice or suffering from natural ways or unnatural ways, from or other happenings. So, but today I just wanted to look at a hadith, begin with from Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna li kulli shay'in shiratan wa li kulli shiratan safratan," which means that indeed everything has a verve or an eagerness, and everything that has that verve or eagerness also has a weakness embedded within it. So we have enthusiasm, or sharpness of mind, all these things that come. For instance, just before, a few days, last week, we had our my Nana's celebration of Eid al-Adha, and before that, those beautiful nights were in, hopefully, most of us, if we had the opportunity, inshallah, we took partook of fasting on Yom Al-Arafah, inshallah. And if not, then inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to taste that for the next year. But all those great nights and great days that we have, we're in the ibadah, we're in the good deeds, are multiplied in Allah knows better how many manifold returns we're getting for those wondrous days and nights that gives to us out of His bounty, out of His munificence, that they're exponentially, so have increased. So we just had some of those nights and days, alhamdulillah. So for most people, those days, it's the tradition to have this eagerness and this verve. And so most people would be reminding each other, it's time, what are you doing for the what are you doing? And then Ramadan, of course, everyone gets into the act, inshallah. But what about all the other days? So we have this eagerness and verb, which is really good and excellent, because we, at the very least, we're doing that. And that's the reason we have the likes of alhamdulillah, the little father, wherein the returns are so great that everyone realizes, no matter what they did or however they were slacking, to get up for those days, whatever little they can do. Or actually some people who maybe will partake in much of it as the rest of the year, but Allah affords them that. They have that opportunity, and they could just make it and make union with Laylatul Qadr, and they would have that 83 years of thawab, as if they worshipped for 83 years. So alhamdulillah, we have that in our deen. But for the wise person, we know that we want to maximize every opportunity. And only this deen gives us that, wherein everything is ibadah, every moment is ibadah. Any situation we're in can be ibadah. And of course, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that scene, his wife, his seerah, is a scene of perfection. So it gives us a clue wherein we can collate as much to our capability within ourselves what we can do in each moment to maximize the potential, to maximize the sunnah. So we need to keep that in mind, knowing this hadith, that everything has its verb, enthusiasm and excitement, but along with that excitement, there can be a weakness. And that is that we don't take opportunities when they may not be outlined. So, like these wondrous nights and days that we have. What about the other nights? We may find that eagerness, or we may only use it for when we get together, because it's automatic. In Ramadan, and you're almost on autopilot. The synergy with other Muslims is going to make you have that verve. But it's up to us. What this means is that it takes more internal, an internal catalyst, that burning and yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it to be lit on the other days, wherein you might not have the other companions reminding you to do so, and but it's up to ourselves to do so. And this is why, taking into account another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْرُمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ سَلْأَخْلِ رِوَايَةً أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا دَعْمَ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those which are done consistently, even if they are little. We know this hadith, and it's repeated over and over to, inshallah, embed in our hearts the true wisdom contained within it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to actualize on that hadith, because it's very true. And this is why I mention it often. For people in all walks of life, particularly living in the West with very fast-paced lives, or mothers who have an inordinate amount of multitasking to do. But basically that applies to everyone nowadays. No matter where we are in the world, the servants, they have all these tasks in places where there are a lot of labor force, and then they still have to get on their cell phones and coordinate whatever activities they have besides their work. So pretty much all over the world has this preoccupation and they need to schedule and organize their matter so that this sharpness and eagerness maintains itself throughout, not just lights up for a little bit and then burns out. We don't want that. So, and then, you know, another example is looking at the situation that we find ourselves in the northeast of America, the northeast, the coastal region, particularly in New Jersey. Everyone must have heard by now. But it's so interesting about these, when these disastrous events take place, that the people that are within it, and I didn't, something you don't realize until you, that Allah protect us all and protect all of you to never have to experience it, but those of us who have lived through it can share with you what some of those things that you you realize from living in such a situation is that everyone else is knowing what's going on, but we're kind of stuck. Even though we're in the middle of technology, we don't know. I mean, this is how much we live by technology, that we have no idea how bad the destruction is. It's only from hearing the text messages and the few phone calls that I took that I realized, of course, it was already predicted, but it wasn't until the last couple of hours that they moved it up to oh my God, it might be like Katrina and things like that were being said just 2 hours before it finally made landfall. Hurricane Sandy is what I'm mentioning here. So in these situations, which, by the way, I've spoken, this is our second year in a row we've had a hurricane. For us, that last year was actually much more devastating in terms of, because it was the first one we've ever felt, and that was underreported, I believe. And that's why I had spoken about it, those of you who heard me lecturing in the Chicagoland area after we experienced Hurricane Irene last year. Yeah, it was during Loma Bonne, actually. So, but alhamdulillah, those were beautiful fasts, and the tests were not as severe. People don't realize that it's the days after the hurricane or cyclone, whatever it might be, hits that the real tests occur. And I always ask the office from Sheikh Hanan Nafuli Hafizullah, first of all, before the storm, I always ask him for dua for the states of people. And the email that I had sent him to prior to it hitting was that, exactly that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the states of people calm and serene so they can handle it, so they can bear this, because that is the true test. The storm within is the true test. Not the storm without. People usually get worried about the storm without, but after living through it, I can tell you that it's really the storm within, because people's behaviors go haywire, or can go haywire. And this is why I teach about it, and why I talk about it, because now is the time we cannot keep spiritual lessons to Tasawwuf, and you could even call it psychology, but these lessons that give serenity, we can't keep it to ourselves, because it's a right, especially with all the chaos in the world. It's the one thing that would protect the mind, the body, and the whole person in such an event. May Allah protect us all from having to experience this, but this is what the number one provision that we can have. And of course, so anyway, I was saying, inshallah, it's not from the wrath of Allah that these we can't, Allahu A'lam, even if it is a natural disaster. We have various geoengineering projects, but that's just looking at the physical level. I only mention it because we need to know our enemy. It's from various perspectives, whether you want to look at real war, all the the art of war, books like that. Any strategic requires that you know your enemy in detail. That's all we're talking about at the physical level. Where are the tools? What are the tools that the evil minds of our time use? So when we say it might be from that level, that's all we mean there, just so we know. And it helps us in preparation. This is why I had been talking about having provision stocks for before, be aware of what's going on and know these things, what kind of food, what kind of staples. I mean, I'll tell you, this was the first day my husband and my eldest son were able to walk out to the grocery store. Actually, they thought they would have to walk, but they were able to drive to it because it's like eighth of a mile, the closest grocery store we have. So that one was totally still barren. They had to go one about a half a mile or a mile away. And so that one, they just got some bottled water, but they were pretty much still totally barren. And we live in a well-to-do community that you wouldn't think. But and then the other area where they went to is neighboring areas where a lot of the migrant workers do shop there, and they had more stock there. So that told me something, which I already know, which most of us already know, that if something calamitous were, like the solar flares, other things they talk about, it's the migrant workers that would be willing. People should really wake up and realize that we're going to be. And what do you think, why do you think that is? If you think about it, so we talked about the physical level, but at the spiritual level, what could be happening here? If it's not the wrath of Allah, could be that perhaps it's time we stop saying third world countries to all these other countries. I mean, seriously, migrant workers would be the most educated if there was you need, if we were off the grid, if there was protect us all, such tough coming, they would be on ruined. They'll be the ruling class because they know how to, they know how to survive, growing their own food, cleaning up their own mess. Real knowledges that come to play in surviving, building things, just making, foraging or hunting, all those things would come into play that will protect us. But, so all these things come to mind. And then, of course, the things we learn in terms of secret knowledge, I'm telling the kids, now you see why you need to know what kind of wudu can we make, if there's no water, what types of wudu are available that we can make wudu, and then can we reuse it, for instance, for making wudu, since I mentioned it, I might as well mention as a review, water that is pure water, and it's already used as wudu. People would collect it in olden days. That's why it's already written in the Fiqh books. And it's all discussed by the Fuqaha. So if they would collect water that was used for wudu as it's dripping off the person, because then they could use that for a wash or cleaning and so on. But it's known from studying fiqh that you cannot use that water again for another wudu. But there is even an exception to that rule. Unless a person was had made wudu, had already had wudu, in other words, using pure water now, he already had wudu, but he was just using it to cool off, then whatever drips off could still again be used for another wudu. It wouldn't be considered mustaman. So all of these things come into play. So we would be at a loss. Not knowing these things, let's rectify our situation. And not knowing even the physical how-to of gathering provisions. And this is why I've mentioned in the past few years, even hydroponics, even if you don't have a land, how to just grow, in your flower pots, in your whatever size residence that you live in. All these knowledges have to come into play, and this is why we should be working on it. Inshallah ta'ala, and helping each other with these types of knowledges that are pretty much lost, and we would be at a calamitous loss and from not knowing that and from not having such knowledge in our community. But so even during such time, great men, ulama, awliya, they've been tested with all kinds of things like this and live through them, but they just keep running like great rivers keep flowing, not letting even the debris disturb them or disorient them or basically we're talking about hudud here. That serenity within is maintained. They don't have a maelstrom. Maelstrom would be something, internal agitation. That's the number one thing that I always ask the shiur for protection, to make dua for us, those of us who are in such tribulation in our physical localities, that we have serenity within our hearts. And this is why we need to teach it all around us, not just keep to talk to ourselves, to our family and friends. Teach them this. And the best way to teach, if you don't want to speak to them, and it's not the optimal way anyway, it's just by exuding it, and all the opportunities we get, so they see a difference, inshallah ta'ala, in our behavior. Because ultimately, we want that, subhanAllah, we want this for our loved ones and everyone around us. We want it for the non-Muslims. Ultimately, we want it for our whole community, whatever that community is that we live in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring more and more into the fold of Islam. From seeing such examples of truth. Because ultimately, we want this for others because all of these tribulations and the turn of life, it's just, they're all testing, and we know that. But when you know and can transmit the knowledge of serenity, the knowledge of tranquility, and deliver it, first of all, emulate it, and then be able to transmit it to others, then what we're truly giving is a great gift. because this is Jannah on earth. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the garden. So that's why they say the Sufis are impatient people. They don't want, they can't wait for Jannah for the year after. They just want Jannah on earth. And I think it's one of the best definitions of one who has the spiritual knowledge. So I wanted to end with what this such tests also do is give us the value of time, because we realize, like I started off with saying, that these moments that we are together, whether alone or with others, just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hearing for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, we realize that all the other moments we could have done better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates the suffering of all those in the world who are undergoing suffering that only He knows of, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those in my area whom I don't even know because I can't get out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates anyone who is in suffering, particularly the children and the elderly. All I know, most of our whole area does not have current yet. So, but last year's storm, Irene, which was devastating in itself, a lot of people, especially in my area, most of us, we did get some generators, so, alhamdulillah. But anyway, but what I'm going to end with is the line from Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, who gives us this knowledge of, in poetry form, of the value of time. He says, وَلَوْلَا الشِّعْرُ بِعُلَمَاءِ يُزْرِي. Were it not for poetry, by the scholar emigrated. لَكُنْتُ الْيَوْمَ أَشْعَرُ مِنْ لَبِيدِ. Today I would have been a finer poet than Labid. Labid is a pre-Islamic poet who was considered one of the best poets. As we know, the Arabs, they were tremendous in their poetry. وَلَوْلَا خَشَّةُ الرَّحْمَنِ رَبِّي. If I didn't consider fear of my Lord, حَسِبْتُ النَّاسَ كُلُّهُمْ عَبِيدِي. I would have considered people as my slaves. So what Imam Shafi is talking about is that he's looked at poetry and but the scholars don't give it that much weight, because what he's referring to here is the real poetry is ma'rifa. Is knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, because if it were true that poetry has this high status, then those that are ulama would be on the dais at the height of poetry. And so, and this is why he's saying this. وَلَوْلَا خَشْيَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ رَبِّي. If I didn't consider fear of my Lord, I would have considered people as my slave. So now he's going on to just a comparison between poetry and then fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these heights, from all heights of oneself. Na'ibu zamanana wal'aibu fina. We blame time. Now he's going to talk about time for this. Na'ibu zamanana. We blame time for all things. Basically, what he's saying here, but the blame is upon us. So this is where he's getting to the deep part of the matter, that whatever it is that we are not attaining, we use this cheap excuse by blaming time. And what he's referring to here is that time cannot even defend itself, can't speak back, but still we use it as a scapegoat. وَمَا لِزَمَنَا عَيْبٌ. But nor does time have a defense except in us. So now he's speaking for time. It can't defend itself. And saying in a very poetic form, time doesn't have defects. In fact, it's us that have defects. وَنَحْجُ ذَا زَمَانِ بِغَيْدِ ذَنْبٍ. We rebuke time though it has no sin. وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا. So if time could allocute, it would accuse us. So the Imam Jafar Iranwallah Jews for on behalf of time, because it just gets all these complaints or used as a scapegoat by millions of people throughout this plane. As we walk upon this plane, we were treading upon time, and here we are blaming it when the fault is really in us. The times like this, alhamdulillah, it brings out a lot of good in people, and that's another aspect of looking at it spiritually as well. You see some of the best qualities of people coming out wanting to help, and immediately there for each other. Hopefully, for the most part, that's what's happening. For those, and especially there's different levels of it too. I mean, the human, when people see it, the eyewitness, and this is where the modern technology comes into play. People's hearts are moved because they know they see these people in desolate places and they can't do anything for themselves when they're hit so hard. And so they're seeing it is not enough. They just it's enough for them to do something. So we have that to give credit to, all these online and modern technological choices, all these photographs out there. But tying it in with what we started off with, this eagerness is really good in times like this, and alhamdulillah that it brings out the best humanistic qualities, but we need to have it more so and spread it out throughout time, not just on those blessed occasions of expansion on those nights and days, and not only on these times of calamitous occasions, but the real treading is those other moments when we're not tested, but we're still bringing out the best of us, inshaAllah ta'ala. Jazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlu. Jazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlu. Jazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة